Please join me in praying one Hail Mary to our Blessed Mother for a greater love of Jesus, her Son, present in the most blessed sacrament. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Lady of the most blessed sacrament, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One day Bishop Sheen was in Philadelphia. He was driving to the town hall, and he was going to be giving a talk there, and he got lost in the streets of Philadelphia. So he saw a schoolyard, so he drove up to the schoolyard, and he chose the tallest kid, and he said, "Can you tell me how to get to the town hall?" And the kid said, he was a smart aleck Philadelphia kid, he said, "Why do you want to know?" And the bishop said, "I have to give a talk on a religious topic." And the kid said, "What topic?" And the bishop said, "I'm going to give a talk on heaven and how to get there." And the kid said, "You can't even get to the town hall." So how do we get to heaven? Of course, St. Pius X gives us the answer. He said the shortest, the safest, the quickest way to get to heaven is love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, especially daily Mass and daily Communion. The Eucharist is the window to heaven. Tonight, we'll talk about the Holy Presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Last night, we talked about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Tonight, we'll focus on the real presence, the importance of Eucharistic adoration, and why we should make a regular holy hour before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The Church teaches us that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. Really, truly, and substantially present. This means that the Lord is present under the appearances of bread and wine after the consecration. The Lord is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in his resurrected, glorified body. At the moment of the consecration, a great miracle takes place. The miracle of transubstantiation. No more bread is present, no more wine is present. It is now Jesus, under the appearance of bread, Jesus, under the appearance of wine. It is his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This means that the Lord is there with all of his mind, with his will, with his intellect, with his emotions, and with his Sacred Heart. We should never separate devotion to the Sacred Heart from devotion to Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Now, why do we believe this? Because we as Catholics take Jesus at his word. At the Last Supper, notice Jesus did not say, "This represents my body, this symbolizes my body, this reminds you of my body." He could have said that, but he didn't. He said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." Jesus is God. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. We take Jesus at his word. We take Jesus literally. When he said it was his body, how can we say it's not his body? It's either him or it's not him. We take Jesus at his word. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. In John chapter 6, he said time and time again, "Unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we have no life within us." Now the Lord lost most of his disciples after this discourse. Most of them walked away. And Jesus continued to repeat, "Yes, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink." And he let all of them go. And he even turned to the 12 disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave me also?" And St. Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, to whom else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Even though the apostles did not fully comprehend how he was going to give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink, they had nowhere else to go. And they said, "You alone have the words of eternal life." And it was at the Last Supper that it was revealed to them how Jesus would give them his body and his blood. At the Last Supper, he took bread and wine, and he said those words, and that's how he fulfilled John chapter 6. In Scripture, the Lord never does anything by accident. The Lord prepared the minds and hearts of the disciples for the great gift of the Eucharist that would be given to them at the Last Supper. Jesus proved through previous miracles that he could work this greatest miracle, which was the Eucharist. Think back to the wedding feast of Cana. Remember the wedding feast? The wine ran out. Do you know why? Because all the apostles showed up. That's the reason. No. The apostles showed up and the wine runs out. It's right there in Scripture. Well, the Blessed Mother felt bad about this because, you know, she was friends with the couple, with the young couple getting married. And so she goes to the Lord and says, they have no more wine. And the Lord says, well, my hour is not yet come. So the Blessed Mother decides now is the time for the first miracle. So she puts the Lord on the spot and says, go to the servant, do whatever he tells you. And of course, the Lord works his first miracle. He's a wonderful person to have at a party, wouldn't he be, right? You run out of refreshments, the Lord is there to multiply these things. So at the wedding feast, the Lord proved that he had power over material things, such as water and wine. Remember that when it comes to the Last Supper. Think of another miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fish. Remember this story? All the people were hungry. They did not bring food. They had a few loaves and a few fish. The Lord took them, said the blessing, distributed them through the apostles, and everyone was fed. A great miracle. So much of a miracle that they wanted to make him king. Well, in this miracle, the Lord shows he has power over bread. Okay, remember that when we get to the Last Supper. Then think of the other times in Scripture. Remember when the Lord walked on the water? When he rose from the dead? He proved he had power over his body. And then there were times when the Lord could be there, but he kept himself sort of in disguise. Remember after the resurrection? He was in the garden and Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener. See, the Lord veiled himself under the appearance of a gardener on the way to Emmaus. He's walking along with the two disciples. They don't realize who it is. Why? Because the Lord veiled himself under the appearance of a stranger walking down the road on the way to Emmaus. Now, the Last Supper brings all these events into one. The Lord had already proved that he could change water into wine. He had power over bread, power over his body. And now, at the Last Supper, he takes the bread and wine, says, this is my body. This is the cup of my blood. So we as Catholics believe in the Eucharist because Jesus told us about it. And Jesus said that he was there. So we have that faith to know that the Lord could not deceive us. He said he's there, and we know he is. Why Eucharistic adoration? Why do we have the monstrance, the beautiful monstrance with the Lord present? The answer is that the Mass does not give us enough time to pour out our hearts and souls to Christ in adoration. The Mass lasts usually about an hour. The priest can only elevate the host for a few moments. He cannot keep his arms elevated for an hour or 2 hours or 10 hours. That's why there's the monstrance. Did you ever notice that the monstrance is the height of the priest's arms in holding up the Eucharist in adoration? So I'm very happy that there's a monstrance there, because this way we don't have to hold the Lord for 5 hours or 10 hours or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why we have the monstrance. The monstrance captures that moment at Mass and prolongs it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in Eucharistic adoration. At Mass, we just don't have enough time to spend hours and hours and hours with the Lord in prayer. So the Church says that's why we have the monstrance. This captures that moment and we can spend time in prayer. Why should we make a holy hour? The answer is because the Lord asked us to. He said to the disciples in the garden, can you not watch 1 hour with me? OK, Can you not watch 1 hour with me? Every time we make a holy hour, we're saying yes to that request. Can you not watch 1 hour with me? I would encourage you that as a fruit of this Eucharistic Congress, that each one of you will make a holy hour once a week before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Pick your hour. Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, Wednesday morning at 9, Friday afternoon at 5. Pick an hour every week and spend that time with the Lord in Eucharistic adoration. Now, some of you, the Lord is calling to perhaps even do a daily Eucharistic holy hour. I've preached retreats many different places, and I've always recommended make a daily holy hour. And many people have been able to do this. Bishop Sheen, the last years of his life, spent his whole remainder of his life asking priests every day to make a daily holy hour. The Bishop Sheen never missed his holy hour in over 50 years as a priest. He tells stories of sometimes he would get locked in the church, you know, at night. He'd have to sneak out the window once he fell into a coal bin. Another time he had to walk up and down the church on a number of occasions just to stay awake during his holy hour. Once he was in Paris, he only had a couple hours in between trains, so he walked into a Catholic church to make his holy hour, and he fell asleep. And his guardian angel woke him up an hour later exactly, just enough time to catch the train, and he said to his guardian angel, "Did I make that holy hour? Did that count?" And the angel said, "Yeah, you made it the same way the disciples made their first holy hour. Sound asleep in the garden." That counts sometimes. When you make a holy hour, it's like Outback Steakhouse. There are no rules, okay? No rules. You can pray the rosary. You can read the Bible. You can read the lives of the saints. You can pray the liturgy of the hours. You can just sit and bask in the loving presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. You can listen. When you're making your holy hour, spend at least 20 minutes without reading, just listening. Say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Listen for at least a third of your holy hour. And then just gaze upon the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. In the life of St. John Vianney, there was a man in his parish that would spend many hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament, 5, 10, 12 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament, sitting there. And St. John Vianney once approached him and said, "Can you tell me, what do you say to Jesus day and night?" He says, he's told John Vianney, "You know, I don't really say anything. I just look at Jesus, and Jesus looks at me." See, that's contemplation. That's Eucharistic adoration. That's worship of the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, we can pray the rosary, liturgy of the hours, read the Bible, read the saints. Yes, we need to do that perhaps half the time or three quarters of the time. But don't forget to spend at least 15, 20 minutes of that hour just saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." How will the holy hour benefit you? How will it benefit your family, your parish, and the world? Well, first of all, it'll benefit you tremendously because of the graces you'll get by coming before Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Gradually, over time, you'll be more and more transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. They say we all become like the people we hang around. If you hang around Jesus, you become like Jesus. We're all chameleons. We all morph into the people that we spend time with. Well, if we read about the saints, we become like the saints. Spend time in adoration, you become more and more like Jesus. And when you spend that time in prayer with the Lord will give you a special influence or power over souls to help them get to heaven. Bishop Sheen had this tremendous power over souls. That's because he made a holy hour every day for 50 years. When he spoke, people listened. You know, when E.F. Hutton spoke, right, people listened. When Bishop Sheen spoke, people listened because he had spent an hour every day with the Lord. Mother Teresa spent about 3 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament. When she would speak at Yale or Harvard, people listened because of her time that she had spent with the Blessed Sacrament. When John Paul II spoke, people listened. Frank Duff, a founder of the Legion of Mary, made a daily holy hour his entire life. There was one occasion where he was visited by two Jehovah's Witnesses. They knocked on his door. They were both fallen away Catholics. They were now Jehovah's Witnesses. They came to try to convert Frank Duff. Within about 2 hours of talking with them, they both had come back to the Catholic faith. Okay? See, that's the power of somebody who spends time before the Blessed Sacrament. If you want to influence your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, then the best thing you can do for them is you spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. So you'll benefit by the Holy Hour. Your family will benefit by the Holy Hour. Pray for your spouse. It can save a marriage. Pray for your children. If they've drifted away from the faith, pray that they come back. Pray for your grandchildren. You are so powerful in your prayers for your children and your grandchildren. Just one story about the power of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. About 100 years ago in England, there was a woman named Mrs. Vaughan, and she had 8 children. And she made a holy hour every day before the Blessed Sacrament that if it was God's will, God would choose some of her daughters to become nuns and some of her sons to become priests. Well, all 3 girls became nuns. All 5 sons became priests. 2 bishops and 1 archbishop. The power of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. What will it do for your parish? If you pray before the Blessed Sacrament every week with the Holy Hour or every day, you can increase vocations. See, the Lord said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are scarce. Pray that the master of the harvest will send more laborers into the vineyard. So the greatest thing we can do for vocations is prayer. Prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Parishes that have Eucharistic adoration like you do here in your beautiful adoration chapel will see countless souls come back to God. They'll just be drawn to the church. This happens all the time at my parish as well. People will walk up and say, I don't know why, but I came to church today for the first time in 10 years. Or I came to church today for the first time in 40 years. It happens all the time when people are praying before the Blessed Sacrament. It draws souls like a magnet into the church. It's the best thing we can do to bring about the returns of the sacraments. Getting people back to confession. Getting babies baptized. Getting marriages blessed in the church. Getting people back to Mass. Getting people into RCIA. See, the Eucharist will draw souls. If you're praying before the Blessed Sacrament, you'll see these things happening in your parish more and more and more as the days and the weeks go by. And then what will it do for the world? Well, you may not know until you get to heaven, but your time before the Blessed Sacrament may have converted a hardened sinner. Maybe somebody in China on their deathbed was saved because of your prayers. Maybe somebody in Africa or the Philippines was converted or came back to the church right before they died or accepted Christ right before they died. So you'll never know all the benefits that will come to souls by your faithfulness in prayer. Remember the passage in Scripture where the battle, Israel is waging war, and when Moses has his arms lifted in prayer, the battle goes well for Israel. Well, he got tired, and so they had to come and support his hands with rocks, you know, to hold them up. And whenever Moses was interceding for the people, the battle went well. When he stopped praying, the battle went poorly. The same thing in the world. If we're faithful to prayer, things will go well. People will be converted. We see this all the time with people like Bernard Nathanson, a pro-abortion doctor who performed over 60,000 abortions, including some of his own children, converted to the Catholic faith, got baptized, and became a devout Catholic. Now he goes around the world giving the pro-life message. See, this only comes about if people pray and pray for the conversion of world leaders and civil leaders and conversion of our country. Bishop Sheen said that if you make a daily holy hour, whatever your greatest problem in life, whatever your greatest defect or sin, it will be solved. It will be healed. It will be overcome. He said that whenever we spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, it's like giving our soul a suntan, but it's spelled S-O-N, Okay? Your soul becomes more beautiful and more pleasing to God. You don't even have to put on like sunscreen, right? Because there's no harmful side effects. There's no harmful effects of the rays of this sun. Okay? When people have cancer, they get treatment, radiation or chemotherapy. Well, sin is a form of, is a kind of cancer, right? The cancer of the soul is sin. How do you get radiated for that? Well, time before the Blessed Sacrament. When you, just by sitting before the Blessed Sacrament, His healing grace is making your soul more beautiful and healing your soul of the cancer of sin. It's, instead of chemotherapy, it's Christotherapy, right? Jesus' Christotherapy is affecting your soul and burning off sin and getting rid of sin. And there's no harmful side effects of Christotherapy, right? Of time before the Blessed Sacrament. So I encourage you to spend time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Prayer is the key to salvation. St. Alphonsus Liguori said that those who pray will be saved. Those who do not pray will be lost. By praying before the Blessed Sacrament, your soul will become more and more pleasing to God. Your faith will be strengthened. By spending that time in silence, you'll be able to listen to the Lord. You'll have peace in your soul. You'll develop a personal relationship with the Lord. And you'll be able to discern your vocation. Some of our young adults here, you're not sure if God's calling you to get married or to become a priest or a nun. You'll discover your true vocation by spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. So they say that the best time we ever spend on earth is time spent before the Blessed Sacrament. And one last thought. For those of you who have lost a loved one, a mom or dad or spouse or children or grandchildren, they say the closest you could ever come to them on earth is when you're before the Blessed Sacrament. Because if they're with the Lord, you're with the Lord. Okay? It's the window to heaven. That monstrance is that portal through which we gaze into eternity. It's the preview of heaven where we'll be able to see God face to face. Where one day that veil will be lifted and we will truly see the Lord to whom we spent all those hours in prayer. God bless you.